tell you something. God's getting his church ready. He's getting his church ready. That's good. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to, the thought that the Lord gave me this morning is, how many remembers last Sunday night about prophesying the word? I tell you what, I thought about that all week. And then when Jack brought that in Thursday night, they just really go in hand, they really do. And so the thought that God gave me today, I have to preach what I have in my heart. I'm just not good enough to preach anything else. And I'm going to speak this morning. I want you to be turning up to the book of Genesis, the 40th chapter. And I'm going to show you in the word the importance it is to speak out God's word in this day and time. As I'm ministering today, I'm not talking about reading God's word. It's important to read it. I'm not talking about quoting God's word. It's important to quote it. I'm not thinking about God's word. It's important to think about it. But I'm gonna show you a higher level this morning, that when you speak the word of God, I heard somebody already say it this morning, I believe, it comes alive. It comes alive when you begin to speak it. Would you bow your heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you this morning. Father, I thank you for everyone that made such an effort to be out this morning. And I ask, God, that you'll minister to every need in this building. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you today. And Lord, we ask today, God, for your anointing to guide us, Lord, and to anoint our mind and our tongue, God, that we may say this, Lord, how you have asked us to do it. Father, I ask that you open our hearts in this building. Lord, let us put aside the things, Lord, that would hinder the word, that would clutter the heart. But Lord, let us receive this into the good ground of the heart, that it may bring forth 100, even 1,000 fold. In the name of Jesus, devil, we rebuke you. That you do not steal, kill, or destroy this word. And the church says, if you're able this morning, would you stand for the reading of the word of God? We're going to start in verse number 6. Genesis, the 40th chapter, and verse number 6. And Joseph came unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look you so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine was three branches, and it was as though it bud, and her blossoms shot forth, and the cluster thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is an interpretation of it. And then he says, the three branches are 3 days. That you may be seated. And church says, I'm going to stop it there because I know that we know the story. I want to preach, I believe that most families today, whether you're a church-going family or not, you have several Bibles in your house. I would mostly say that most people have more than one. Most families probably have two or three or four or five. We have them. I believe that most families today in America have some knowledge, not all families, but especially in the Bible Belt, we have some knowledge of the Bible. Everybody does. Especially in this part of the country, we have a little knowledge of the Bible. Some of us have doctrines. Some of the doctrines that we have is doctrines that's been handed down to us. We probably, and don't get mad, but I'm laying this out because I want you to understand the importance of speaking God's word. And we have a lot of customs and things that was handed down that is good. Nothing wrong with it. It's just not Bible. You know, it's good, but it's not really Bible. It may go along with the Bible. I I heard a preacher one time preaching, and he was saying something, and he said, well, if it ain't in the Bible, it ought to be. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God put in the Bible what he wanted in there. he don't need something that ought to be in there. The Lord knows what he put in there. But I believe it's important that we have a knowledge of the Word of God for ourselves. And I'm going to show you this in the Scripture and how important it is. And not only that we have a knowledge of it, but the only knowledge that we can, when we begin to see it with our eyes, place it in our heart and speak it for a mile, something will begin to happen. I know that we all know this verse and we can probably quote it, but I want you to put it up there because I want us to read it before we get into the message. Amos, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse. It says, behold, the day, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of water, but of hearing what? The word of the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a revelation. I'm going to share with you several times this morning that God showed me about this in other verses in the Bible. He says the hearing of the word of God. You know why we're not hearing the word of God? Because we're not speaking the word of God. Do you know you hear yourself more than anyone else? And if we're not speaking the word of God, then we have, even though we have Bibles everywhere, we have preaching everywhere, we have teaching everywhere, we have 24-hour TV stations, 24-hour radio stations, we're in a phantom for the word of God because we are not hearing or speaking, thus saith the word of God. Now let's get back to Joseph just for a second. I've got a lot of scripture, if I can, I want to share with you this morning. Now we all know the story about Joseph. He had these dreams. He told his brothers. They didn't like it. And guess what they did? They put him down in a pit, tuck him up, and they sold him to a traveling band that tuck him down into Egypt and sold him. Remember, Joseph got a job. He was a servant boy in a house. God gave him favor. The woman of the house accused him falsely of attempted rape or rape or ever how you want to put it, and he was put in prison. And Joseph was in prison where I begin to read to you here in the 40th chapter. He was in the custody of the prison. And Pharaoh had got upset with his butler and with the wine bearer, the baker, the butler and the baker. I get this right. And he got upset with them. And they were kind of under house arrest. They was confined to quarters till Pharaoh decided what he was going to do. And while they was in there, they both had a dream. And when Joseph come in to serve them the next morning, he seen that their countenance was sad. He seen that there was something wrong with them. Here's what I want you to begin to take notice. Here was a man that had lost everything. He was in bondage. He was a prisoner, falsely accused, not only in bondage, but a prisoner. And yet, he was recognizing that these people were sad. And all of a sudden, he looked at him and he said, well, what's wrong with you? They said, we've had these dreams and there's no interpretation. Now, here's what I want you to begin to notice about Joseph. Joseph had heard from God when he was a young man, and he began to share it with his brothers, and they didn't like it. Just because Joseph had lost his home, his family, and in a foreign land, he had never forgotten what God told him. Immediately, Joseph spoke out. He spoke out and he said, do you not know that the only person that can interpretate this is God? And I can do it for you. And how did Joseph know that he could interpret this and that it would be true? He knew that what God told him, that he was going to be the head of his family and he was going to be the Savior. Even though he'd lost all hope, he was still speaking what God gave him. Man, I tell you what, when God began to show me, that we sometimes, in the midst of our troubles and storms, we would rather complain. We would rather kind of get down. And we get upset if people don't notice we're down. So we bring everybody else down around us because they'll know we're down. Come on now. And because we never speak what God wants, what God's told us. In fact, we take the promises that God's told us and we say, well, I guess we just missed that opportunity. And sure enough, when you fail to begin to speak what God's given you, when you fail to begin to speak it out, it cannot come to pass, and you truly are losing it. Joseph had an understanding that if he would speak this out, and by speaking it out, Bible says what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Joseph was speaking out the truth. He said, I can tell you this. He did not say, I might tell you. He did not say, this might be the way it is. I tell you what, we the church need to get rid of mights and maybes. Can I preach a little bit? We need to get rid of, and here I go, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. But I'm going to just say it anyways because you'll know what I mean. They may not know it, hear it, but you will. We need to get rid of this saying, well, if it's God's will. Now you're saying, oh, Brother Bill, don't believe in God's will. No, we use that for a crutch to get out of everything. It crucifies our faith. When you absolutely do not know what the word says and you say if it's God's will, what you're saying is, I just don't believe it's going to happen to me. We might as well speak it out like it is. We're tying the hands of God. Joseph said, listen, God knows your interpretation. And then he goes down and he says, here it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. He said, he didn't say, I might tell you. I'm going to tell you. Now, I hope you have an understanding how important it is to speak God's word. In your storms and your trouble. How many here is going through any battles this week? How many, the last thing you wanted to do was speak the word of God in it? Come on. I'm going to show you that God's going to give you some great victory this morning. All God needs is a mouthpiece. All God needs is a mouthpiece. Are there anybody here who said, I'll be a mouthpiece for God? That's, well, I felt that. I want you to go with me now to the book of Exodus, the third chapter. This is where I want to start preaching. I promise you, I hope I don't take long. In the third chapter, Sister Lisa, we're going to go down to the seventh verse. In the third chapter of Exodus, this is where God, he come to Moses in the burning bush. Now, I'm talking about Joseph and Moses, so if I get these confused, y'all know I'm on Moses for the next few minutes. Because I get them confused sometimes. But what God said here, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people. I've heard their cries. And he said, I've seen the affliction of my people which are deep, and I've heard their cries by reason of the past, for I know their sorrows. God was saying, Moses, my people are hurting. They're in desperate situation. I've come to you this day because I need a mouthpiece to deliver my people. Can I prophesy to this church right now? We are in a desperate situation in America. Our churches are hurting. Our people are hurting. The world's in such turmoil. People don't know how to pay their bills. They don't know how to put food on their table no more. If you need a medical situation, unless you're very blessed, you absolutely don't know what's happening. Can I give you something that I feel in my heart? I said, the Lord, I don't. I felt this. When I first heard about this meningitis, the first time I ever heard it, before there was only one person maybe died, I began to pray, and the Lord said, watch this. Or I felt this in my spirit. Let me get this right. The Lord did not tell me. I felt this in my spirit. And I felt in my spirit, by the time this is over, you'll find out that there was people's hands involved that wanted to hurt people. Or shouldn't I put it this way, terrorist act. And it's not the people that run the companies. They've surrendered all the records, and they've told the FBI, even though the FBI got search warrants, they said, you don't need them. But do you know that people can work for these companies that can do it? You just watch this. At the end, when the truth comes out, you're going to see something, and this is the beginning. People don't know where to turn. They're hurting. God's hearing the cry of his church. God knows our sorrows and our fears. And he said, I need a mouthpiece. And he told Moses, he said, Moses, I need somebody to go down there and speak my word. I need somebody. Moses was looking at the burning bush. He said, Lord, these people don't know me. They won't listen to me. They'll not follow me. Listen to what he said. Let's go to verse number 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Listen to what he said. Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. He said, Moses, you don't go reason with them. You don't go tell them the map out of here. You don't try to tell them anything. The only thing you do is I need somebody to walk up there and say that I am has sent me. Man, you know what we need? We need some men and women today that'll stand up among God's people and say that I am has sent me for such an hour as this. The I am has called me to preach this. The I am has sent me. The importance of beginning to God needing a mouthpiece. So Moses, we'll go to chapter number 4. Moses said, Lord, verse number 10. The Lord told Moses, said, Lord, says, I'm not eloquent of speech. How many times don't we speak because we feel like we're not qualified to speak? How many people are not speaking because you've allowed the devil to tell you you're not worthy? Moses said, I'm not eloquent, neither hereto. Listen to what he said. Or since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am what? Slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses says, I speak slow and I stutter, if you want that in plain English. He said, I have a problem. I have the same problem. Not comparing myself to Moses, but I have times getting words out. And when I was little, I stuttered. I could get happy or get excited. Take me that long to say a word this big. Because it just bounced on the tongue, wouldn't come out. Moses said, I can't do this. So many of us today, we're not speaking God's word because we don't think that we can. We're waiting on somebody else to speak it for us. It won't work. We're quoting God's word. There's nothing wrong with quoting God's word, but it's different than speaking it. We're saying, well, I read it over and over in my mind. That's good. But there's something that the devil, when he hears the word of God spoke, he begins to tremble. And it begins to happen. And so, go to verse number 11. I love what God told Moses. He said, Moses, and the Lord said to him, who have made man's mouth? Who made your mouth, Moses? And he goes on and says, who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? He said, am I the one that made you? You see, God made us to speak his word. I hope in just a moment you begin to see where I'm going with this message. You see, God wants us to begin to speak it. I'm going to give you some scripture on how to speak God's word just in a second. But we've become quiet. And our faith's not growing because we're not hearing the word spoke. Because if you speak it, I hear it. When you stand up and say, this is what God told me, it don't only bless you, but it blesses everybody who hears it. But if we sat and we never say it, we're walking around, Brother Jack, with our shield broken. When we have the guns to fight the battle off right then, but we're broken shield because we're quiet. We're not pronouncing what thus saith the word of God. Joseph, even though in the worst of all circumstances, he spoke the word of God. He did not forget the dreams that God gave him. There's people here got lost children. God told you you'd save them. You better hold on to it and begin to speak it out. Don't think it. Speak it out. You need to quit complaining about it. Well, my children's doing this. You ought to stand up and say, I want to tell you something. God's going to save my children because thus saith the word of the Lord. Some of you need divine moves of God. and you're always talking about, oh, I'm hurting, or oh, I can't do this. You need to shut your mouth, reprogram your mind, and begin to say, my God has promised me that I will be healed. Is this all right? God made us to speak his word. If you're having trouble speaking it, go to the one that made it. Now let's go to verse number 12. This is the one I love. Be with what? You know what God told Moses? He said, I'm not going to send you an army. I'm not giving you 50,000 angels. I'm not doing this. I'm not. All I'm going to do is be with your mouth. So you know what God was telling Moses? If you speak it, I'll do it. If you keep your mouth shut, I won't do it. Is that not powerful? Walk into the promised land because he forgot this. When God said speak to the rock, he did what? God said, I want you to, I'll be with your mouth, not your hand. Come on now. He says, and you say, well, pastor, that's good for them back in, but what about us? Would you put up Luke 12 and 12? I believe it is. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you what? Shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to do what? You know what? That tells me that the same promise that God made Moses, he's making us. That the Holy Ghost will speak for you. I guarantee you the Holy Ghost will not say sickness has overtaken you and you're doomed. He'll not tell you your children are lost forever. The Holy Ghost will speak, thus saith the word of God. My God is able. You see, so many times today we've allowed ourselves because we've not spoken what thus saith the word of God. I love to read. I'm a reader. And I love to read, do research on the great revivals of time past. And so one time I got the bright idea. I want to know what these guys preached. The great awakenings that happened that saved continents and countries. I said, I done some research and I got a couple messages. And I read it. And I read it. And I read it. And I sat back, I said, that's the boringest message I ever heard. You know what they preached? They stood in the pulpit, they opened the Bible, they began on verse number 1, they read to the end of the chapter, they got to the other chapter, they read to the end after about 3 chapters, they said, this is what God says. They did not embellish it at all. If somebody done that today, you know what they'd say? That's the most boringest, deadest preacher that could ever preach. And that started some of the great awakenings. Simple message. Sometimes they would have 10 words of their own. And then I begin to think and read the Bible. When Moses come off the mount, he had the 10 commandments written. Did not ask the people to read them. Read your Bible. He called the congregation together, made them stand, and he would read them to them. And do you know what they had to do? Moses would say, thou shalt not kill. Then the whole congregation would say, thou shalt not kill. They repeated what Moses said. And I was reading one commentary that said sometimes Moses' services where he would read God's word would go from 8 hours, and nobody was allowed to sit. They had to stand at attention as Moses read the word of God, and they would repeat it back to him. You see, today, oh, please don't take this wrong. We like the flash, the programmable, I love the flash too. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to the word, we're not putting it with the rest. And this is what's happening. We're talking about healing and preaching about it. We're not seeing it. Is that all right to say that? We're talking about a revival because we know God's sending it. It's happening everywhere in the world but America. We're not seeing it. And the Lord says, you're not, my people, it's just not speaking my word. And so I prayed and I said, God, what would you have this congregation to speak? And if you want to highlight these first three verses, I'm going to give you. That's up to you. Turn with me to the book of Psalms 103. If you want victory, you start your day off with these three verses. Let me turn over there. Verse number 1, Psalms 103 and 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Now, if you'll begin to speak, you'll say, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, my provider, the one that owns this world, the one that I bless with all that's within me. Lord, I know that it's by you. I'm going to tell you, wake up in the morning and say, God, I bless you with all my soul. I bless you. I don't care if you're in the worst trial of your life. Right in the middle of it, just say, I bless my God. I don't care if you're at work and everything in the world is going wrong. Just stop and say, Lord, I bless you with all my soul. We begin to acknowledge. Put up verse number 2. This one I love. I love all three. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Then we begin to think what God is. Now, I want to show you something. Remember when Abraham, when the five kings come and got Sodom and Gomorrah and took Lot prisoner and all the people and took all their money and all their gold, and they come and got Abraham, and Abraham took 600 soldiers, went down there and whipped them and brought them back. They tell me the line was 7 miles long of just people. They said the gold and the silver, these were the richest countries of that area, that there was this wagon after wagon of gold. And when Abraham come back with that, the first thing he did was what? He offered he met with the Melchizedek, the high priest. He gave him tithes, and they ate the covenant meal of wine and bread. God spoke to Abraham, revealed something to Abraham. God told Abraham, said, Abraham, I'm the one that owns the world. I'm the possessor of all earth. Everything on earth is mine. You can read this yourself. He said, I'm the possessor of heaven and earth. Right. And right after that, the king of Lot come and said, Abraham, you can have all the gold. You can have all the silver. You can have all the cattle, all the sheep, all this. Abraham looked at him and said, sir, you don't have one piece of thread that I want. Let it not be said that I received anything from you. I don't want none of this. He said, my God is my provider. Now, last week when I was in camp meeting, I heard a preacher say this. And this, I'm going to tie this in right fast. Just give me just a moment. He says that there's no money in heaven. He said the church, we have forgotten how to pray. We're praying for God to give us money, and God don't have no money. Because you know what? If you have a dollar bill, a $50 bill, a $100 bill, I don't know if they make them, $1,000 or $1 million bill, to God it's just paper. It's nothing to God, because God does not honor the money system. He didn't set up, it's not his. And so Abraham understood this. He said, it's nothing to me. You have nothing that I want, because I understand that my God owns it all. Amen. When we begin to understand that God, it doesn't matter if you need $1 million or $10. It doesn't matter what you need from God, that when you acknowledge that God is in control and you begin to speak the things of God and his benefit, he said, I will supply your need according to all my riches that I have in heaven, that God is able to do it no matter what it is, church. It's not upon the dollar. You think God cares whether the dollar's good or bad? He's God. Do you think he cares whether China has money or not? He's God. It's when we begin to understand the benefit. You know what the first benefit that we better understand is? Is the greatest benefit you can have is being a child of God. Most people have never got this in their head. Nope. You say, yes, we do, Pastor. When you begin to understand what it means to be a child of God, that you live in this earth, but you're not a part of it, that it doesn't, that God doesn't go by the money system, that God goes by his system. When you begin to understand I'm a child of God, listen to me. I'm going to get into some of, if I preach tonight, some of my night's message. When you are a child of God, you're an ambassador of God. I'm a spokesman of God. You're a spokesman of God. That's why what you say is what God's going to do. When you speak, that's because you're an ambassador. We used to sing a song. In fact, believe it or not, I helped write this song when I was at the Church of God. That assembly, they sung a song. They're young people. We are Christ's ambassadors. I'm going to give you an example. It's been all over the news lately about our ambassador got killed in Libya. Technically, that man was a spokesman. He represented our government, our president. The ground that he was on, even though it was in Libya, is American soil. There was no difference in them bombing that embassy or Washington, D.C. There's no difference. Because why? He was our ambassador. We own that. Can I tell you something? When the devil attacks you, it is no different than whether he's attacking God. Because you are what? Your benefits. I'm a child of God. When you begin to understand that you're a child of God, when the devil comes against you, speak it out. Say, devil, I speak on behalf of my Father in heaven. Get thee behind me. The war's got to be over. Now let's go to verse number 3. This is the one I want to just spend a minute on. The psalmist said, he forgiveth all thy iniquities. As I was studying this message this week, one of the things that I hear most often in the ministry, I don't know about other ministers, but I do, is most people do not receive because they have condemnation. The devil always wants to bring up your past. You ever notice that? And he does that to bring condemnation. You're not worthy enough to get what God has. If you'll start your verse out saying, every morning, God forgive me of all my iniquities. I have no condemnation. My past is gone. And I like what the preacher said in the conference last week. I love this. I believe it's Jensen Franklin. I've said this over and over. I think about it daily. Satan, that brings condemnation to you, was created perfect. His name was Lucifer. There was three powerful angels in heaven that ruled heaven under God. It was Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. That's how powerful Satan was. The next time Satan tells you you ain't worthy enough what God has for you, you remind him that he was created perfect in heaven, the third most powerful angel in all heaven, and he failed and was cast out. And I'm born in sin, tempted and tried daily, but I'm washed in the blood, and I have no condemnation because Jesus Christ has forgiven me. Woo! Then when you begin to understand that you have no condemnation, then you can quote, you can speak the other part of this verse. Who healeth all thy what? Does that mean sugar diabetes? Heart disease? Ah, come on. High blood pressure? You mean I don't have to fight this high blood pressure?
Come on. He's a healer. Oh.
If I was in an argue move, I'd argue with you this morning. Because that's hard to understand. But you know why it's hard to understand? Because we don't speak it. It's because we don't speak it. We know what the verse says. We know that we're healed by His stripes, but you know what we do? Well, Lord, You died on the cross, and You stuck them stripes, and I know You're healing for me, and if You ever get ready to heal me, I'm ready.
Come on.
I thought I would have had you. You know what the devil tells me? He said, God gave you your body, and you abused it. Now you guys suffer the consequences. You know what? If that was the case, every one of us would be sick.
Amen.
So we all abused our body some way, somehow, some shape.
The Bible says, who healeth all?
Would you like to read that every day? Start your day off saying that. My God forgiveth me of all my iniquities, and He's the one that healeth all my diseases. Glory to God. Church, Moses was the mouthpiece that spoke God's word. And he was probably, in my opinion, this is my opinion, I don't know if another leader in all Israel, in all the Bible, besides Jesus, that was probably done as much and was as close to God as Moses. You know why the angels buried Moses? You know why God took Moses and buried him? He didn't let Israel bury him. Do you know what? If they had Moses' bones, you know what would be done right now? They'd be up in the middle of Jerusalem. They'd be in a tomb. And the world would be going there worshiping Moses' bones. See, it wasn't Moses. God used his mouth. God used his mouth. God says, do I have anybody today that wants to be a mouthpiece for me? Anybody.
Hallelujah.
You see, being a mouthpiece for the Lord is more than ministering and teaching and speaking the word when you don't want to. Sometimes when I'm on my pout box and I got my little fiddle out and I'm crying the blues, and I should have been a blues singer. I can sure cry the blues. And I like blues music. When Brother Carl gets on that horn, there's something inside of me. I love it. And they kind of get, him and Lisa and them get that blues beat, I guess, or jazz beat, everybody. I love it. I love it. There's something in me. I love it. But when I get in the blues and I'm crying the blues, oh, God, You forsaken me. Lord, You know I've done my best, and yet I can't make it. And I just begin to cry it out. Sister Becky said, just dry it up, and she'll quote a scripture. And I get so mad. Oh, my face gets red, and I'll snap at her like I ain't snapped at her, knowing I won't get supper at night, but I don't care because she made me mad. I'll snap and say, no. I say, you don't understand. Or I'll say, my other comeback is, before you preach it to me, do it yourself. Well, you know what I've just done? I pronounced my battle that I'm going to go through it worse. Because I should be saying, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. I'm just going to praise my God no matter what. I should be like Joseph. Lord, the promises are still there, Lord. I'm still speaking them. I had a preacher tell me one time, when after I started wearing these things, he said, well, I guess you won't be able to pray for the sick no more. I said, why is that? He said, well, you're wearing glasses. There's some foolishness out there. I battled some of that. I thought, well, that means if I'm sick with a headache, I better not pray for nobody. You know what? Maybe Brother Jack can tell you this too. Sometimes we're up here praying for people, and we absolutely are sicker than the ones we're praying for. And while we're praying for somebody, God heals us too. I've been healed more times that way, I guess, than any other time. But if I listen to some people, well, you better not pray for nobody. You know, you're not. I guess they figured I didn't have faith. I lost all my faith. It's the Word, church. Smith Wigglesworth, and I'm closing, was one of our great faith healers of the 19th century, and turn of the century into this. Do you know that he had a daughter that was sick? Was she deaf? Deaf, I believe deaf, could not hear or something. She sat on the front row of every one of his services. Somebody said, why do you let her sit up there for? Sometimes people would stand up and say, heal your own daughter, preacher. And he also had problems. He worked hard and he had problems. People say, heal yourself, preacher. But he never wavered from what God said. He just spoke God's word. I tell you, if you'll begin to speak God's word, it may not happen immediately, but God will change your life. He'll be there for you. There's victory coming, but if we don't speak it out, nobody hears it. I was sitting in a doctor's office one time, and one of the things I like about taking people to the doctor is all you got to do if you want to pray for somebody is either get your Bible out or talk or say the name of Jesus. They come to you. And I was at UT, and it was real early, and there wasn't many people there, so I thought, well, I'm going to read a little bit. And I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and two or three people come in. I didn't pay much attention to them. I'm reading my Bible, and this person said, sir, would you pray for me? I said, well, sure, I'll pray for you. And the Holy Ghost spoke and said, you pray out loud, and you pronounce healing. I said, uh-oh. I took about three steps back because I wanted to do one of these prayers. Lord, help them through it all. Help them doctors. Well, help the doctors. But that's why I wanted to pray. I really did. But the Holy Ghost says, don't you pray that way. And so I said, well, I'll pray for you. So I started to touch their forehead, and I think it scared them, and they took my hand. I believe it's what happened. And I took my hand, I said, in the name of Jesus, just as loud as, not loud where they heard out in the hall, but everybody in the waiting room heard. I said, in the name of Jesus, be thou made whole. When I got through praying, another person walked up. Said, will you do the same prayer for me? Another walked up, said, would you do the same prayer for me? A nurse heard it in the back. Said, will you pray that prayer with me? They're hungry for somebody to just speak the word. Now, if I would have just done what I wanted to do, I would have said, Lord, would you touch this sister? Real quiet, where just me and her heard it. And I'd have sat down and I said, man, I've done a good deed. And I'd have patted myself on the back. Yep, God, I've done what you want me to do. But God said, pray out loud. There was somebody else needed prayer. They just needed to hear it. I wonder how many of your neighbors need to hear you say, God can set them free. I wonder how many of my neighbors need to hear that while we're closing. I got just a little bit long, not too long, this morning. I believe God's fixing to do something because I believe the messages that's been preached in the last few weeks and taught are messages that bring victory. I don't doubt that every one of us have trials. And I don't doubt that your trials are not worse than everybody else's. I know mine are. When I'm in the middle of a trial, I think nobody's in them like mine. I think your trial's this little, mine's that big, you know. And I'm sure we all think ours are the worst. We all have them. And we spend most of our time confessing our tribulations. Boy, I sure had a rough day. Man, we've defeated ourselves. Well, I'm doing my best, but we we're just killing ourselves. The Word of God did not say any of that. If we would just read the Word of God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and remember His benefits. The Lord who forgiveth all my iniquities and healeth all my diseases. When we begin to say that, I thought that I was a positive person to the last 3 weeks of my life. I really did. I don't very seldom get depressed. I get sad, but it don't last for a second. And I thought, man, I'm a positive person. But when I begin to hear myself, I have to repent. I have repented. Because, Brother Mac, I didn't even know I was doing it. At times I'd say, well, I wonder what's going to go wrong today. I might as well say, devil, you got a free hand. Tear me up. That's what we're saying. God says, I need a mouthpiece. I look out here and there's about 30 mouthpieces this morning or more. God wants you this morning while your head is bowed. If you're having a trouble speaking the Word of God, maybe you don't even realize what you've been speaking. If you want to know how spiritual you are, listen to what you say. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, you're going to confess what you are. You can claim to be anything in the world, but your mouth will always tell on you. It'll tell exactly what you are. And if you're here today and you've been battling this, maybe you're like I was. You wanted to be positive. You wanted to speak the right things, but you did not realize it. You quoted scripture, but you didn't speak them. We can quote John 3:16 all we want, but until we speak it out and believe it, then we become saved. We begin to speak them. And they all, as I heard somebody say this morning, they become alive to us. If you're here this morning and you've been battling this, this is God speaking to you. He said, it's time. I'm wanting to do something for you right now. God's wanting to touch you right now in this place. I'd like for us, if you will, this morning, if you're able just to stand just for a second. I promise you, unless the Holy Ghost, I'll not keep you too much longer. Lord, you know, God, that everyone here, God, desires to walk in such victory and proclaim your word. And Father, as you have enlightened me as pastor, that it's so important for me to speak your word. Father, I ask that, as I shared it this morning to the best of my ability, God, that we will accept this. Lord, and that we will begin to improve on how we speak. We'll allow the Holy Ghost to teach us what to say, to bring things to our remembrance that we should say, that we may speak the Word of God and our faith can grow. If you're here this morning and you long for this, would you just ask the Lord, I will receive this morning. That's all you have to do. Say, God, I receive this. As you receive it, the Lord, He will do the rest. God sees your heart. He hears your cries this morning. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us share this good news with all those that we come in contact with our brothers and sisters, Lord, with our neighbors and friends. Lord, let us say yea and nay, God. And Father, as we speak this word of God, and Father, as we speak to ourselves, and Lord, let us speak yea and nay of the word of God. Father, we pray that your Holy Ghost can move, Lord, and have his way. Lord, that we might see your great hand move as it did with Moses and as it did with Joseph, Lord, and others throughout the Bible as they spoke your word. Father, we ask it right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And the church says, give the Lord a clap of worship if you would, please.